From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. The biggest fantasy football game in the world is just hours away from kicking off once more. Don't worry, none of us are ready either. But over the next half hour, we'll have all the budget-squeezing, problem-easing, manager-pleasing picks you need to be feeling nice and smug come Saturday lunchtime. It's the official FPL podcast from the Premier League. Hello there, you are a fantasy manager in need of some last-minute tips. I am your host, James Richardson, and this is this week's panel. We have former pro baller, now broadcaster, Sam Parkin. Hello, Sam.
Hi, James. How you doing?
I'm well. Lovely to see you. Journalist, author, and a man who's actually watched all those new arrivals from Ligue 1, Tom Williams.
Hello, James.
Hello, Tom. And from the FPL family, queen of last year's FPL podcast league, it's Sam Bomfield. All right, Sam.
Hiya, James. I quite like being called the Queen.
Sam, finishing the top 3.5K worldwide. That's out of, what, 7 million managers or something? Tom and Sam P, where did you finish?
I was top 100,000, I think. Maybe 40,000th or something like that.
Perhaps.
So, you know, not too bad.
Right, okay. Believing you on that one. Sam Parkin, how about you?
Lower reaches of the division, our private division. Yeah, I was like Crystal Palace. I accumulated enough points to not worry about relegation, but it's a season where I need to do a hell of a lot better, this one.
If you were relegated, what fantasy league would you be taking part of? Would it be kind of Major League Baseball or something? What do you think?
Maybe, or I don't know, you regress to when fantasy league first started and I have to play with the 16 and 17-year-olds, maybe.
Right, yeah, very possibly, very possibly. By the way, you mentioned our mini league. A lot of people would like to know how to join that. Perhaps sniffing some easy pickings. Well, the code you need is SMXYTY. That's SMXYTY. All right, Sam, top 4K last time. Who's in your team this time, apart from Harry Kane?
At the moment, I've got rotating keepers in Ryan and Nylon so that I can move around between the two during their nice fixtures that they have.
Got it.
Then at the back, the god of defence in Trent Alexander-Arnold. I've got Eric Dier from Spurs and Jamal Lasalle from Newcastle, who may yet become Lewis, their new signing, but we'll see. Carl Walker-Peters from Southampton. And then Ferguson, who is currently injured, but hopefully will be back soon for Crystal Palace. Heavy in the midfield with Salah, Aubameyang and Bruno Fernandes at Manchester United. Slightly more out there picks in the middle there with Saint-Maximin and then Jake Livermore from West Brom, which I'm sure you'll have questions about. And then up top, the man, the myth, the legend that is Harry Kane, Shea Adams from Southampton. And currently I have Brewster from Liverpool. I'm really hoping he's going to get a loan move away. But if he doesn't, he may be somebody different come game week one.
So everyone keeps saying this. Brewster's a great pick, especially if he gets a loan. Is there some realistic prospect of that happening in the next day or two?
Yeah, there's been kind of talk about it and a lot of the Liverpool chatter around Twitter and stuff suggests that there is potential that he might get a move away from the club just to get some more game time, likely be on loan and hopefully to another Premier League side, which would be an absolute gift for us as FPL managers if that happens.
Right. OK. Then you got him in prospect. Guys, what major differences do you have as Sam Parkin?
I haven't kind of got those really cheap guys to free up the money elsewhere, but a lot of similarities, Salah, Aubameyang, and the front line at the moment, Kane. I'm going to persevere, even though I was burnt by Harry a few times last season.
Sam.
And I'm big on Mitrovic back in the Premier League.
Right.
And my third striker is going to be Callum Wilson. So many have failed in the Newcastle number 9 shirt. I think that's a great bit of business and a guaranteed starter.
Right. Some great ideas there. Tom.
Yeah, my team's slightly more top-heavy in that I've currently got a forward line of Timo Werner, Danny Ings and Alexander Mitrovic.
Woof.
Also got Salah, Aubameyang and Saint-Maximin in midfield, as things stand. And I've got Trent in my back four. I've gone for Matt Doherty at Spurs, whereas Sam B's gone for Eric Dier. And then a few other slightly more left-field picks. So I've got William Saliba from Arsenal, Pablo Hernandez from Leeds, and they are two players with question marks by their names for the time being.
I see. Question marks that maybe Tom, we can help you resolve over the course of the next half hour. Crucially, what have you picked as a team name, though, Tom Williams?
My team this season is Netflix and Chillwell.
I love that.
Oh, that's going to be tough to follow. Sam Parkin.
That is tremendous, Thomas. Very original. I'm going with the same name from the previous 3 years, but with Jose back in charge for the start of this new Premier League season, I am parking the bus once more.
I mean, it's solid. It's, you know,
it works, doesn't it?
It does. It certainly does.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It was shattered.
Sam Bonfield.
So mine is always named after a Spurs player. This year, it's Bestin Alderweireld.
That's very nice, isn't it? I previously had Alderweireld's a stage, but there weren't enough characters in your team name option. So at the moment, I'm running with there is an I in Timo, but I'm not very happy with that. Do you reckon? I feel that that's going to be one of my game week two changes when I play my wild card, probably. Listener, of course, it's all about your team. That's why we're here. And as it's the start of the season, before we actually get into the game week one fixtures, let's first dust off the long view again with a look at the FDR chart. Yep, it's the long view, looking at who's got these sweet fixtures over the next 6 weeks or so. Sam Bonfield, you were mentioning that the FDR chart, which, you know, most of us download on our laptops and that, is actually available now on the app.
Yeah, from first thing this morning, it went live on the official FPL app. So you may need to do an update on your app to get it, but it's working perfectly on mine now and it's going to be incredibly helpful for the rest of this season.
Absolutely. FDR chart, fixture difficulty rating, updated regularly, also looks lovely because it's like a mosaic of colours representing the calendar and fixture difficulty. Obviously, the first thing to say about the current edition is that there's a big wodge of black in there. That's for Man United, Man City, Burnley and Villa in week one because they are not playing. This is one of the big questions about how we approach our team building this time around. Do you leave their players out? Do you leave some money in the bank to bring them in? Do you get them in and leave them on the bench? What do you do with those superstar players? Tom Williams.
I have no Manchester players in my squad for game week one. I did think about, you know, picking KDB and putting him on the bench, but I thought I'd prefer to start the new campaign with a full squad and then bring in those Manchester players as transfers in the weeks that follow. Man United in particular have got some quite nice early fixtures. They're at home to Palace game week two. So I think I'll probably go either Salah or Aubameyang to Fernandes. And then for the City players, I think they're away at Wolves, is it? In game week two, which is not the easiest fixture, but then home to Leicester game week three. So I think that's when I'll be looking to bring in probably KDB, maybe Sterling. That is the plan.
It is Man United's players who look like the biggest hole in your squad if you haven't got them in, because as you say, their fixtures are so good. Palace and then Brighton away and then Spurs and then Newcastle. When they do return to action. Sam Parkin, are you tempted by this running a team for game week one and then wildcarding to get in the City and United players?
No, I don't think so. I'm kind of going to replicate what Tom's doing, the way he's going to play it. I think the Manchester United game against Crystal Palace corresponds with quite a difficult game for Liverpool. So I'm just going to flip-flop between Mo Salah, who I've got now, with maybe a Rashford or a Fernandes, and just use that one substitution to get a Manchester United player or a Manchester City player into the team. Because I think when the top four clubs collide, invariably we don't really go all in on those big guys.
Sexy. All right, Sam Bonfield.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Sam. I think that actually playing your wild card early might just cause you more difficulties longer term, because you're going to want to use that later on in the season when you've got a bit more information about the players and the way that the teams are setting up. And of course, we shouldn't forget that the transfer window is open a bit longer this time around. So we'll have new players coming into the game. So for me, I'm going to be putting a Manchester United player, as I said earlier, it'll be Bruno, on the bench for game week one, knowing then that he's safely in my back pocket ready for game week two. And it allows me to use my free transfer going into game week two to bring in another Manchester United player if I want to. And like the boy said before, I'm going to be looking to bring in Manchester City after game week two and in the build-up to game week three when they play Leicester.
Right, that does sound like a very organised approach. Just beyond then, the teams that aren't playing this weekend, we mentioned this a little bit in Monday's show, sites with really good-looking fixtures coming into this new season include Spurs, Wolves, Everton, although they are at Spurs in the opening game week. Saints as well. And Arsenal's first two fixtures are pretty tempting too, with a trip to Fulham and then West Ham at home. Teams to avoid for now include the aforementioned Hammers and probably Leeds, you know, starting at Anfield and that. Not a great way to begin. Anyone else you'd throw into that mix?
I think Sheffield United, maybe. Yeah, Wolves, obviously, on the opening day, but they play two of the promoted sides in the opening 5 weeks, and just that game against Arsenal, really, in game week four to be fearful of. So, obviously, it was a bit up and down since the restart, but made some good signings this week. So, I think it's probably time to persist with definitely one Sheffield United defender, if not two.
Who would you go for? And would you include Ramsdale in goal for them as being one of the better options?
Well, I've got Egan currently, but I'm a little bit concerned with Ampadu coming in. I think he would fit beautifully into the middle of that back three if he's not deployed in the centre midfield. So I'd be a bit concerned maybe about Egan losing his position as the season evolves. But for the moment, he's going to be my guy in there and just wait and see what Chris Wilder does. But I think that the start of the season looks particularly pleasant for them.
So I'm a bit worried about Sheffield United this year. I'm not saying that Ramsdale's a bad keeper, but in the matches that Henderson didn't play for them last season, they were really poor defensively. They really relied on Henderson and his saving potential was enormous. So I'm not yet convinced that we're going to see the same solidity in the Sheffield United defence. So for me, I'm waiting to see on how they start and whether Ramsdale kind of picks up where Henderson left off. If he does, then they look like great options because the fixtures are nice. So we could bring them in a bit later, but I'm waiting and seeing to see how he settles in.
And of course, Sheffield United are dogged by the spectre of second season syndrome. Obviously, they were so impressive last season, but we've seen in the past teams that have come up from the Championship and settled quickly have often struggled to replicate that in the second season. So, I mean, I'm as similar to Sam P, I've got John Egan as well. But I share some of Sam B's concerns as well about how they're going to go.
Right. Interesting. Sheffield begin their campaign at home to Wolves. Let's hear now about the Game Week 1 fixtures. Alrighty, Saturday it all gets underway. And by the way, are you aware that the deadlines have changed for this new season? Deadlines for your fantasy selections are now going to be 90 minutes ahead of the opening fixture of each round. So, for example, this Saturday, 12:30 kickoff between Fulham and Arsenal, and that means our deadline is 11 o'clock UK time. Woof. Alrighty. So, I know there's lots of fixtures that we think are potentially big points providers. So, panellists, which one do you want to talk about first? Tom, how about that Fulham-Arsenal game?
Yes. Well, as things stand, I currently have a pair of Arsenal players and a pair of Fulham players.
Madness.
So I'll be watching this game particularly closely.
Which Fulham players?
Fulham players, Alexander Mitrovic, back in the division, and a player who has proved a reliable FPL asset in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And Harrison Reed, who is mainly in the team because he's only 4.5 million and frees up space elsewhere.
What's he?
He is a midfielder.
Okay.
As for Arsenal, I've got Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, bit of a no-brainer. Obviously, Arsenal's key man, was great in great form at the end of last season. And I've also, as I said earlier, I've got William Saliba, who is very attractively priced at 4.5 million. There is a risk that he won't start. So I'm not convinced that he's necessarily going to be in my starting lineup come Saturday morning. But Arsenal look like they're going to be without David Luiz. They've spent quite a lot of money on Saliba. He's obviously a player who they're going to count on a lot in years to come. And although they've brought in other centre-backs, they don't have a huge amount of right-footed centre-backs available for this game. And I think if he does play, and that is, you know, quite a sizable if, but if he does play, I can see him keeping a clean sheet.
Right.
Arsenal then at home to West Ham in their second fixture, which is also attractive. So I may take a punt on him, but
okay,
also may chicken out a and bring someone else in.
What about, Tom, their brand new keeper, Areola, who they've just signed from Paris Saint-Germain?
Yeah, very talented goalkeeper. He was on loan at Real Madrid last season. He's a France international. He's got Champions League experience. Fulham were very porous defensively. The last time they were in the Premier League, they let in over 80 goals. They weren't the tightest ship last season in the Championship either. But at the same time, their fixtures are quite attractive. Arsenal at home on the opening day, not ideal, but then... they're away at Leeds, they're at home to Villa, and they've also got a run of games where they play Palace, West Brom at home in consecutive weeks, week 6 and 7. Then they're away at West Ham and at home to Everton. So they've got a decent run of fixtures. I guess, you know, we'll have to wait and see how they adapt to being back in the Premier League. But I think Areola's probably one to keep an eye on. As we record, he doesn't yet have a price, but I wouldn't have thought he'll be super expensive.
Okay. All right, any other picks from this fixture? What about Willian? Is he on your radars?
So I think he's a really nice pick, actually. I really liked him at Chelsea. I think the one difference that Willian had at Chelsea was that he had penalties in his locker. Moving to Arsenal, he's surely not going to be on penalties anymore because Aubameyang is going to be taking them. So that does slightly reduce his appeal, maybe. And there are some other really nice assets in that Arsenal midfield, the likes of Saka, who's going to be significantly cheaper. And even Ceballos now coming back to Arsenal again for this season. So I like Willian. I think it'll be interesting to see how he settles. I mean, obviously, it's only a short move across London for him. But without the penalties, I'm not sure he's as attractive as he used to be in Chelsea Blue.
Okay, because I haven't in my team at the moment. Anyone you fancy out this one then, Sam Parkin?
I think it's worth keeping an eye on Nketiah as well, considering his form for England under 21s. And I don't think Lacazette's nailed down that central role if Aubameyang's going to continue playing on the left. I've gone for Tierney at the moment. I think he's been outstanding, especially at the back end of last season. He will be a starter even at left back or the left-sided centre-half role that he's done so well as well. So he's in my team just in front of Doherty at Tottenham, just purely because I think Tierney's had that settling in period, which Doherty may have to encounter in the next few weeks.
How much is he? Sorry, Sam?
He's 5.5.
All right. So $500,000 cheaper than your Doherty then. Or Doherty.
Indeed.
Less Doherty. All right. Sam, Parkin, you were going to highlight Liverpool Leeds for us. Is that right?
Anyone who's, you know, lumping really heavily on Liverpool and expecting a 4-0, 5-0 could get a rude awakening. I think Leeds could surprise them. We saw how well they did at Arsenal last year in the cup competition. So I've done a bit of digging because I wanted Salah or Mane in my side. So I had a little look at their record against the promoted clubs in the last couple of seasons, and it's pretty tight. 11 goal involvements for Salah against 10 for Mane, but 10 of Salah's goal involvements have come at Anfield. So for me, that was enough just to push it in his direction, and with penalties potentially as well. So I'm going for Salah. Currently got Van Dijk as well, but probably most interestingly, I've gone for Luke Ayling, and I'm going for Barry Douglas on my substitutes bench because I think Leeds have got really good fixtures to start off. Obviously, it's a really difficult start, but I'm probably going to drip feed, especially Luke Ayling, into the side for a couple of the home games, considering he's a very good attacking fullback with good potential for goals and assists that he showed last season in the Championship.
Although, presumably, he's a bit of a medical risk if he's ailing. Anyway.
Very good.
Are you going without Trent?
I'm going with Van Dijk at the moment, yes.
Wow.
The reason being, and that is something that I've been to and fro-ing with all morning, is I can go with Alexander-Arnold, but I'm just going to have to take one of my midfield assets out. Yeah. So I've gone with Van Dijk just to free up a couple of extra million quid to be able to do what I've done further forward.
Gutsy. Wow. I like it.
As Sam P says, I also have an inkling that Leeds are going to start the season like an absolute train, because this is what Marcelo Bielsa teams always do. And even though they've got some difficult fixtures, obviously away at Liverpool on the opening day, they're then away at Sheffield United, they've got City and Wolves at home. Oof. I just think that Bielsa effect means that they may pull off a few surprises. I've currently got Pablo Hernandez in my team,
right,
looking more at the home fixture against Fulham in game week 2. But I'm also thinking about Luke Ayling. And I can just see Leeds hitting the ground running and getting a bunch of results that people don't expect. And that will make their very attractively priced players really popular in FPL, if that happens.
Mm, smart stuff. Sam Bonville, what's big on your fancy radar fixture-wise?
So for me, I've picked out the Spurs game, but of course it's me. But I do think this one will be interesting from an FPL point of view, mostly in some ways because of Everton, who have signed so many players in the last couple of weeks of kind of close season. And it'll be interesting to see how they settle. We've obviously got Richarlison, who's changed position in the game this year, going from a midfielder last season to a forward. For me, that makes him a little bit less attractive than he was before, because we don't have the clean sheet potential and we don't have that extra save point that we used to from him. Still, Dominic Calvert-Lewin is there and thereabouts. He kind of ticks over the points, but it's just a little bit on the expensive side. Rodriguez is an interesting one for me as well. Arriving from Real Madrid, there's a lot of hype around him because obviously it's a huge name arriving in Merseyside. But he did only start 8 games last season. And in those games, averaged 1 shot on target. So he's not hugely kind of shown any form going into arriving at Everton, and has arrived quite late for this deadline for the weekend. So I'm intrigued by Everton and to see how they kind of settle and set up. And right. In a game against Spurs, who they haven't now beaten in the Premier League since December 2012, I can see it being a Spurs victory or potentially a draw. 2 of the last 3 matches have ended in draws, but they all are quite high scoring between these two sides.
Okay, and remind me, have you got Doherty in your team?
I have Dyer at the moment, on the basis that I was just slightly concerned that Mourinho talked so much about pre-season, and I had a slight wobble that maybe Doherty might not start until game week 2 once he'd had a bit more time blending in with the side, because Aurier is still a Spurs player and therefore could play in that position in game week 1.
I see. All right. Loads of other fixtures have interesting talking points from a fantasy perspective. Should we see if we can fly through them and maybe you can resolve some of these questions? Chelsea-Brighton, so many new signings. A lot of players are out. Ziyech's out. I think Pulisic's still with hamstring problems. Havertz. A lot of people flagging up Havertz as one to bring in, even from game week 1. Do you concur?
I think, as always with new signings, my instinct is to exercise a degree of caution. Having said that, I have put Timo Werner in straight away, so it's a sort of case of do as I say, not as I do. But I think there's potential for Werner and Havertz forming a really interesting partnership. Havertz plays in, or has played in, a really advanced attacking position. He's been used as like a false 9 by Bayer Leverkusen in the past, and I think Werner needs players alongside him to get the best out of him. So I can see Havertz operating almost as a centre-forward at times this season. So I think if he settles in quickly, he'd be very attractive. I wanted to have Ziyech in as well. Fantastic left foot. He'll take all the set pieces. £8 million as well, which is a decent price. Pulisic, who settled in really quickly last season and looks like he's ready to take on the mantle for Eden Hazard. So I think all of those players are attractive options. Given the injuries, I'm going for Werner for game week 1, given that I think he's guaranteed to start and has appeared to be in decent nick in pre-season.
Brilliant.
My one concern with Chelsea, though, is that the first 2 fixtures are a bit of a challenge. They played Brighton in pre-season and it wasn't a high-scoring affair. And then they've got Liverpool in game week 2. So for me, I'm kind of holding fire on Chelsea. I'm going to see what's happening in those first 2 game weeks and then bring them in for game week 3 when the fixtures actually turn quite nice.
Okay. Also this weekend, you got Saints away at Palace, where they've won on their last 3 visits, and a lot of people have Danny Ings in their side as well. Sam, I know you're strong on Shea Adams. I've got McCarthy, and I want to know who's a good keeper to rotate with him if you don't have much money left, or in fact, pretty much nothing.
Brighton. Ryan at Brighton and McCarthy rotate beautifully for pretty much the whole season. Right. So if you're looking for cheap, nice keepers who can rotate between themselves and not really have to worry about them, then there'd be a good partnership.
Excellent. And is there any sense in investigating Palace options? A lot of people excited about Zaha's prospects with Eze joining him.
Yeah, I've got Eze on my bench currently because he's got a little bit of an injury, but very consistent for QPR last year. It's just where Roy Hodgson gets him into a side who invariably have a lot of time without the ball. So hopefully he'll get selected in one of those wide positions, or maybe even as a number 10. And I think he could really hit the ground running in the Premier League.
Also this weekend, Leicester will be at the Hawthorns visiting West Brom, who had a very poor defensive record in the Championship at home last season, the Baggies. So some people have Vardy as an option. He was Golden Boot, after all, last season in the Premier League. I'd quite like to ask, though, about another striker, one Callum Wilson, who, Sam Parkin, you've got in your team. And that sounds like very smart business after his move from relegated Bournemouth up to Newcastle. Not just him, but Ryan Fraser as well. Everyone's going big on Sam Maxima. Why is he better than Ryan?
Because he is a little bit cheaper.
Right.
And also because he's coming off the back of a really impressive season where he caught the eye in a very impressive way. Ryan Fraser had a complete non-season last season. The season before that, he was a must-have asset. He was, you know, setting up Callum Wilson for goals left, right and centre. So his price shot up. A lot of people brought him in at the start of the season. He never rediscovered that form. So even though it feels like a good move and the fact that he'll be able to renew that partnership with Wilson is promising, that non-season last season makes me slightly wary, rephrase it. And I think the fact that Sam Maximan is $500,000 cheaper just makes that quite an easy decision to make.
Yeah, you had me at cheaper, to be fair. All right then, with Game Week 1's fixtures standing by then, let's next up check on the social and the answer to this week's hot question. Who is the surprise player in your 11 for Game Week 1? Listener, we've been asking on Twitter, who is the surprise player in year 11 for Game Week 1? Hashtag FPL Pod, the way to respond. For example, Marcin getting in touch and saying, judging purely by current ownership, Dele Alli. Joshua says, probably Dele Alli is my surprise pick. Everyone going Sun, so I'm gambling on Alli for something different. Gives me Spurs coverage with their good fixtures, plus $1 million to spend elsewhere. Sam, you're our resident Spurs expert. Are they right to have Dele Alli in there?
I would. Yeah, absolutely. If it was a choice between having Sun and Dele, I would be going with Dele all day long. $1 million is a lot of money in this part of the season to work out how you can shift it across the rest of your team. And I think for me, in pre-season, it's Dele that's looked the most promising of the Spurs midfield assets. And the same at the end of last season, he looks to be coming back to the Dele of old under Mourinho. That his management style really suits him. And I'm expecting that he'll have a really good season.
All right. How much did he cost?
It's $8 million. So it's a whole million cheaper than Sun.
Right, not too much Dele bread. Right. Okay, other answers on Twitter. The Goalpost says Tom Cairney of Fulham is quite a good option, seeing as he is very cheap and is Fulham's captain. He's also very good going forward. Hopefully he will bring me some points with my first choice midfielders not playing this game week. Tom Cairney, can you see a case for that?
I haven't seen a lot of him last year. I think he had a particularly poor season for his standards. It was actually Josh Onuma, ex-Tottenham, who was kind of their driving force towards that playoff win. So, no, I think there's maybe value elsewhere in Fulham. I think they've got quite a nice start to the season. And Tom spoke about the improvements in defence. I'm not saying to lump in there, but certainly there's a couple of guys. Michael Hector was excellent. And Joe Bryan, who has got a habit of assisting Mitrovic, I think six was that combination last year for Mitrovic goals. So he's someone worth looking at maybe ahead of Tom Cairney moving forward.
Okay, the Goalpost. Not too late to change your selection based on Sam's words there. What else? Kevin says Shea Adams for me. He will be Southampton's Danny Ings this season, which will be news to Danny Ings, who probably thinks he's going to be Southampton's Danny Ings this season. Sam, briefly, why do you, what you of the two would pick Shea, is that right? Why?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm fully on board with this one. I think that if you look at the last four game weeks of last season, Shea Adams had a far better end to the season than Danny Ings did. Now, they both had really good pre-seasons. There's been plenty of goals and assists for both of them. But the price difference between the two is massive. And I don't see Danny Ings outscoring Adams by that many points to make it worth the while spending more money on Danny Ings.
Fair enough. Tanay is with you, Tom. Says Luke Ayling, very intriguing fullback, and I think will provide good value at 4.5 million. Brilliant stuff. FPL Pod is the hashtag to use to get in touch with us on Twitter. We'll have another question for you next Wednesday ahead of our next show. Next up on this FPL podcast, though, it's captains and any final thoughts. Tom Williams, anything you're going to scurry off and change about your team after what you've heard so far?
Yeah, quite possibly a few things, actually. That's one of the best things about doing this show is that you listen to people like Sam B and, you know, Sam P as well, in fairness, and realise all the, realise all the mistakes that I've
so
made.
Hard.
Absolute shots fired there, sir.
In my team selection.
Right.
No, I was including him as well.
Okay.
But yeah, I might make a few tweaks.
Yeah.
Before the deadline.
For example, I'm going to downgrade Son to Dele Alli. I'm looking at Ayling. I'm certainly looking at Sam Maxima. There's a lot of cash going to be freed up for some really, really outrageously extravagant purchases elsewhere. Sam Parkin, not that you have anything to learn from anybody else, but anything you're going to be changing?
Well, of course, now I'm worried that I haven't got Alexander Arnold. But to enable that, I've just had a little look. It would mean bringing in Werner in front of Kane. And Kane has got, I think, 9 goals in his last 10 games against Everton. He scored 4 braces on the spin before the last game, which he didn't score in. But I think I'm just going to have to go safety first this year. I trust Harry rather than one of these glossy new signings, which I normally do go for. But I'm just going to trust my instinct and go for the tried and tested.
All right. And what about you, Sam Bonfield?
I think for me, there's still a few players that are in kind of that quandary position. It's the Brewster position that really needs to kind of sort itself out.
The third striker.
I don't want to be going into the season with a third striker who's just going to sit on the bench at Liverpool, because that's just a transfer waiting to happen. So that position's up for grabs. And there might still be some movement across the middle. I still haven't firmly decided on whether it's going to be Fernandes or Rashford. I still do like Rashford, and it's a whole million less. And if I need to upgrade Brewster, then Fernandes will become Rashford.
I see. All right. And what about captain's picks then? The big question, perhaps the biggest one of all, ahead of game week 1, who gets to wear the armband? Tom Williams.
I'm going to go Aubameyang. It was between Aubameyang and Salah. And I'm only going with Aubameyang because, as I said before, I have this suspicion that Leeds are going to do something impressive at Anfield. Mm. So I'm going to go with Aubameyang.
Nice. Sam Parkin.
Yeah, I'd have to concur. It would be Aubameyang or Harry Kane. I think for the first few weeks of the season, I'll flip-flop between the two North London Giants.
Nice. Kitties. Okay, Sam Bonfield?
Well, I'll make it a hat-trick of Aubameyangs then. I really do totally agree with everything that Sam's just said about Harry Kane. I really, really do want to put the armband on him. But the last time I looked, Aubameyang's ownership was at 43.5%, which is bonkers for opening game week of the season. I've never seen it so high for any player. So he's going to be very, very highly owned and very, very highly captained. And the way he's been in form in pre-season, he could easily get a hat-trick in that opening game. And I don't want to be the person that didn't captain Aubameyang.
Right. Okay, I was going to ask you for differential captain picks, but I mean, nobody wants to miss out on those points, especially now he's a midfielder and not a forward. Is there anybody else who's like a slightly more left field choice who's in your thoughts?
So for me, I would look at the Chelsea new boy in Werner. I think he could have a nice start. Has already scored against Brighton, so he could be a nice option. And going back to, if you're going for a real outsider, I really do like the look of St. Maximan. I think he could have a really nice start to the season, especially now with Callum Wilson in that side too.
All right, away at West Ham. All righty. Remember, if you'd like to join our league, go to thepremierleague.com, hit fancy. Open the leagues tag, hit create and join new leagues. Select join a private league and enter this code SMXYTY. And we'll see you there. We'll also be here in a week's time looking back on the lessons learnt from game week 1 and ahead at the next weekend of fixtures. In the meantime, for more FPL content like the FPL show, why not head over to PremierLeague.com. And join me in saluting for now Tom Williams, Sam Parkin and Sam Bonfield. Many thanks for being along with all your golden words of wisdom and advice.
Thanks, James.
No problem.
Welcome.
Excellent. See you all soon. Very good luck, everybody, this weekend, and we'll see you in a week's time.